something I should be worried about?
Yeah, those are signs of an infection, a urethral infection.
Does it necessarily mean it's an STD?
Well, not necessarily, okay. But it means it's something that certainly happened as a result of sex. Whether or not it's actually something that's classically an STD or not remains to be seen. Was she a virgin?
No.
Yeah. You got to see somebody. It could be chlamydia, gonorrhea, non-gonococcal urethritis. These things are very common. And it could even be a mechanical problem or an irritation of the urethra, but it's got to be seen. It's got to be treated.
Now, these diseases you just mentioned, these STDs, won't go away unless they're treated, correct?
Well, for the most part. And they can have complications if you don't treat them.
All right. Zach, see a doctor.
Yeah, and should I confront her about this?
She undoubtedly doesn't know. And, again, chlamydia is the leading cause of infertility in this country, and most women that have it don't know they have it. And that may be something she's been harboring and just didn't know it.
Dating,
but you'll need to talk to her about it because she'll have to be treated also.
Because you don't want yourself to all of a sudden get better and then have sex with her again. You're going to get this burning thing in 2 weeks again.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, Zach, don't be shy. Go see a doctor.
All right, no problem.
Okay, later, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right, sure. Let's speak to Bob, who is on Loveline. What's up, Bob?
How you doing this evening, sir?
Good, man. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, I just recently started this fantasy with, like, I'm masturbating and stuff, like, thinking about my mom and stuff, and I just wondered, like, what's wrong with me? I mean, is that normal or...
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, thanks.
No.
he was BSing. He was giggling trying to ask the question.
I think...
Go ahead, John.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
You're not fooling, are you?
No, I'm totally serious.
Seriously?
It's not every time, you know, but it's like... Every once in a while, I mean, I'm totally serious.
Is your mom one of those hotties, like, from that movie, American Pie?
She's not all that. She's not, like, super hot or nothing, but...
Well, it's normal for humans to have those kinds of feelings, in a way. But they usually aren't explicit, mature feelings. So, I don't know.
Come on.
You're 21, Bob. Come on.
Yeah.
You're goofing us.
No, like, I just say, like, because of Dr. Drew, I, like, started going to see a therapist and everything. I just want to say thanks for, like, everything you do for everybody.
Great. My pleasure.
I'm, like, kind of scared, like, to talk to my therapist about it, too, like, because I feel weird bringing it up.
Listen, the whole idea about therapy is to be able to tell them anything you've done or felt, so that you can get over whatever shame, or you can process whatever shame is attached to that. And you don't need to be ashamed of it. Like I said, it's a normal human thing. It's just sort of late in life to be having those kinds of feelings. And, it's whatever. You're not doing anything about it. I'm not just a weird fantasy.
I don't know. But anytime you say the word normal, masturbation, and mother in the same sentence,
well,
I think that's abnormal.
It's not routine. But he's wondering if there's something wrong with him, like a capital W. That doesn't necessarily mean that.
And why see a therapist if you can't open up?
Absolutely.
You know, completely. Hello, Lindsay, 17 on Loveline.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
I was just wondering, I've had major headaches lately, and my throat is really sore, and I'm bulimic. And can I just take Robitussin to make the my sore throat go away, or is it because this is because of something else in my throat is sore that I need to, like, take pills or something?
There's something called herpangina, which gives you headaches and sore throat. And, look, are you being followed by a doctor for your bulimia?
No. Okay. I haven't told my parents yet. I told my dad about some other problem, and he's not talking to me right now.
How often are you throwing up?
Every day.
Okay, so that's a potentially life-threatening problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so.
That's what needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Everything else is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Could you give me a number that I could call here, down here in Maryland?
That bulimia?
Hey, that's where SR-71 is.
Are you in Baltimore?
No, in Germantown. It's close to Baltimore.
Why don't you just call Hopkins? Call the Department of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins and get some
information. Could you be anonymous?
I'm sure you could start that way, and you'd probably go to some eating disorder groups you can get involved with, and I'm sure you can do it without your parental consent, in fact, and some of it may be at limited or no cost. So get going on this,
okay.
Because the sore throat issue is obviously a secondary problem, and you know you got something serious going on here, so let's do something about it. You've got to do it for you. Obviously, your parents aren't going to be able to help you in any substantive way, and you're not in a position to really communicate openly with them yet, so... Do it for yourself.
Is that normal one time a day if you're bulimic?
She did it more than that, I bet you.
You think so?
Okay. One, two. Hey, Lindsay?
Yeah?
Really, how many times a day are you vomiting?
After every time I eat.
Okay. There you go. All right. You got to interpret these
get
things.
Some help and stop throwing up.
I just want to say something real quick. I called a little while ago. This is just anyone who's ever thought about throwing up or anything. And I wasn't supposed to do this forever. It was just supposed to be for like a little time, lose some quick weight.
Right.
I just say that it's not something like that, and you really can't stop.
That's the deal. We talked about it. I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, Lindsay.
All right, thank you.
Good luck. And say hi to my friend Tom Ackerman that lives out in New Jersey.
Wait a second. You want what?
No, he won a car in that old game show remote control.
It's like interpreting what addicts or alcoholics say they're using.
Hey, that's R71. Welcome to the show, boys. Good, how are you? Who are you, Mitch?
Yeah.
What's up, Mitch?
Striker.
Nice to meet you. How are you?
How are you?
Dan.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
How are you?
All right, you know, that's R71 in the house.
Sorry we're late.
A little drinking?
We had to play.
Yeah. Where at?
We played the House of Blues tonight.
How was it?
It was wonderful. Yeah.
Very cool.
Packed.
All right, we're going to play a song for you guys pretty soon. You hang out. We'll talk about wieners and bosoms. And I'm sorry I'm not Adam Carolla.
I'm so psyched right now.
But I'm not Adam Carolla?
No, to talk about wieners and bosoms.
Oh, to talk about wieners and bosoms. Okay, on the air and off, I'm sure. All right, SR71 is here. So call and ask questions about anything. 1-800-LOVE-191. And Chris, 14, on Loveline.
Hey. SR71, I'm like your biggest fan.
Oh, what's up, man?
Yeah.
How are you?
First call.
Hey, absolutely.
Man, first caller, I'm so nervous. I saw you guys in the 930 Club and ducked out and said hi to Jeff. And
no, you're a hometown fan, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
DC.
I just wanted to know what the details are for the re-release of Grow. I've been hearing about that.
We have an independent CD that we put out a couple of years ago, and that's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We plan on doing something next year with it, actually. We're not exactly sure, but probably after the first of the year, we're going to go back and redo it and put it out for everybody to get.
Keep an eye on the website for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Chris.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, see you.
So how's touring going for you guys?
Oh, it's great. It's great. We've been playing the sold-out shows everywhere. It's pretty amazing what radio can do for an audience.
Definitely. And also for that TV movie, Loser.
Oh, you heard that.
The preview.
Yeah.
Oh, every time it's I couldn't get enough of you guys on that thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Have you seen the previews for Loser? That's our 71 song in there. We'll play it pretty soon. All right, we're going to speak to a guy named Rocky. Anytime you get to say the word Rocky, it's cool. 23, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering what Dr. Drew thought about starting a relationship over the Internet.
You mean a relationship with somebody you've been communicating with over the Internet?
Yes.
Is that the only way to communicate?
Just be careful, that's all. It's not like one of these dating services, right, where you know a lot about the person?
Right. Well, I was just on the Internet talking to my dad because he lives in a different state, so it's long distance for me, and she just started talking to me.
You were talking to your dad in the chat room?
No, in a message kind of thing.
Yeah. In the room called Big Bosoms. Your dad was there, along with the lady with big breasts.
No, I wasn't in a chat room. I was just, you know, communicating with him on the Internet, and this girl come on, started talking to me, and, well, we started, you're getting along pretty good, so we started calling each other.
Yeah.
The same state.
Right.
And we got to know each other pretty well on the phone, and I think we've both been pretty honest with each other, and I was just wondering if, you know, this is a healthy way to start a relationship or what.
How old is she?
She's 18.
So she says. Yeah. Usually these things, in my experience, they really only work out if you have some way of corroborating what that person is telling you about themselves, like a reference or a common friend or something, some way to really make a connection that works. Because really, how long have you been communicating online?
About a month.
Yeah. Well, it's not that long yet, but there's so much fantasy involved in that sort of pseudo-intimacy that the web affords. And there's evidence accumulating that the real quality of that relationship is fantasy. It's not real. And it's likely this is going to be a disappointment unless the fantasy sort of permeates the real relationship, in which case you have a relationship built on fantasy, and that's even worse.
So if we meet and everything seems to be on up and up.
Just go ahead. It's fine.
Rocky,
do it anyway.
Hey, Rocky. Rocky,
yeah.
What did she say she looked like?
Well, she sent me a picture, and it seems like it's possible that it's her. And
all right. Well, how tall is she?
5'8".
So she's 5'2". How much does she weigh?
I don't know how much she weighs. She never really said, and don't really matter.
180 is the over-under right now, and I'm a Vegas guy, so I'm betting on the over on that one.
All right.
Be careful.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Rocky.
See you. Yeah, I usually tell people get off the line quick and on the phone quick. Get off the phone quick into real life. Bring a friend with you. Make sure you live near that person so there's a possibility of a relationship. And enjoy.
You guys go on the Internet a lot, SR71?
Every day.
Yeah. We get so many emails. We try to answer as many as we can, but Outlook Express.
Now, do you ever go in chat rooms where they're talking about you guys and you say, hey, I'm him, or you just go under like a pseudonym and just kind of find out what the kids are talking about?
I don't personally go to chat rooms, but I find out that someone who says they're me goes to chat rooms a lot
right.
and gets me in a lot of trouble.
Oh, I bet.
I actually have gone to a couple. We've been in some town late at night. I've been sitting there on my computer with nothing better to do.
Right.
And I go into a chat room that I know that a lot of our friends go to, and I go in there and I say, I'm here. And it's like, nobody. It's like an e-tumbleweed floats by. Nobody.
It's just you. You couldn't find any scrambled twice on TV, so you're looking for something on the internet. All right, that's SR71, Stryker with Dr. Drew, and Jonathan, 22 on Loveline. What's going on?
Well, it seemed this happened about 5 years ago, and before I start SR71, you guys kick a lot of butt.
What's up, man? Thank you.
Dr. Drew, I love what you do for people. I've called in a few times, and you've helped me greatly.
Good.
And... well, about 5 years ago,
waiting for something with Stryker. You rock, Stryker. You rock, man.
You rock, Stryker.
Okay. Thanks, John.
But about 5 years ago, I was dating this girl. She was 14. I was 16.
Hmm.
And the relationship was really hot and heavy. And, I mean, we had so much in common. It was just perfect for me. And one of the last times, it was pretty much on and off of an LDR, a long-distance relationship. And one of the last times together, we had sex. And what I just found out about a week ago was that the last time we were together, I got her pregnant.
Ooh.
I just found out about the kid, and the real kicker was about 5 to 6 months after she had the kid, she was killed by a drunk driver.
Wow. How did you find out about the child?
I found out about the child through the child's grandmother. She finally told me. And it's been 5 years.
And you've known the grandmother all this time?
And I've known the grandmother the whole time. Her reasoning behind not telling me when my girlfriend was alive was she was afraid that at that time, since I was 16, that I would have done what normal kids my age would have done, ran away. And the reason why she told me after she died, she didn't tell me, is because it took me 5 years to come to grips with her being dead. And so she basically said, you know, if I couldn't come to grips with my girlfriend being dead, how could I come to grips of me now being a single father?
And so where is the child?
The child right now is still living with the grandmother because I'm trying desperately to get on my feet.
So what are you trying, what's your question then?
Should I, since I've been out of this child's life for almost five and a half years, what should I do? Should I, because I did a paternity test, it came back positive.
What do you mean you're trying to get back on your feet?
I spent like the last 2 years, I got a lot of money, and ended up blowing it, spent a few years homeless. And now I'm basically back home.
And you answered to the name of Lucky. A lot of money and ended up homeless?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, Drew, you take this one.
Are you a drug addict?
No, I just pretty much, I started out not really on my feet. Then I was given the money, and I pretty much blew about $65,000 in under 2 months.
On what?
On partying, traveling, everything.
Hookers?
A few.
Of course, right. Like 20.
This is Charlie Sheen.
What's that?
This is Charlie Sheen.
But her mother sat there and told me that when I can get on my feet, that she will give me custody of the child. And I have told people about this that I work with, and people said they're not really sure that that's really what she's going to do.
Or that it's in the best interest of the child.
Yeah, because I said, you know, I have been out of this child's life for 5 years. I did meet the child, and I mean that is one of the most awkward positions I've been in my life.
All right, Drew, what should he do? Should he go get in the child's life or what? I don't know how to even begin to answer this one. How's the grandmother as a parent?
The grandmother, from what I've seen, is a very good parent.
You need to stop smoking cigarettes, John. I'm getting asthma just listening to you talk. right? Guys, like...
You know, if Jonathan said, yeah, I graduated college, now I'm working at this job, I've always been up on my feet, I'd be like, get in that child's life immediately.
Even then, I would be peripheral, be Uncle John for a while, and don't confuse this kid. Be a supportive male figure in that person's life. So that's sort of the approach I would take. I don't think... too confusing to come in as dad now, and if financially you can support the child and get the kid resources all the way along, by all means do that, and again be a part of life, but I don't think dad is the right job for him right
now. How old is the kid now?
The kid is 5 years old. Yeah. Well, at least he spent the kid's college education on some hookers. So
he should be a positive male role model in the child's life regularly and for its entire life and support it financially.
Do you think it's possible for them to form a relationship if he starts it slow?
Yes, but not it won't be dad.
And don't force yourself on this kid, so to speak.
Is there a grandfather?
He's gone.
Was I here for this?
But I don't think there was a grandfather. Let's take one more call, and let's play one of your guys' songs, right?
Okay. SR 71 is here on Loveline, and Corey, you're 20. What's going on?
Hi. Okay, it's hard for me to explain, but this weekend I was at a party, and I mixed Coke with E, and I was drinking, and I kind of blacked out, and when I woke up, I was having sex with this guy that I didn't know, and I just want to know how long I have to wait before I take an AIDS test.
This isn't Anne Heche, is it?
No.
You do it now, and do it again 6 months later.
Okay.
Because it's not going to be accurate for a few months. But when did you have this big sex?
Saturday.
How about morning after pill?
I didn't take it.
Why don't you do that? You have a few more hours left here.
Okay.
Oh, it's Wednesday, right? Now it's too late. You understand you have 72 hours to protect yourself against pregnancy that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, every other time it's happened, I remember using something, but this time I didn't, and...
Well, then all the more reason not to use the morning after pill.
How often are you mixing the ecstasy and the Coke there, Corey?
Well, the first time I've actually ever mixed it, I didn't really mean to. It just was like, it was like an accident. I really didn't mean to. Like, I just Coke a lot, and I drink a lot. I mix Coke and alcohol, and I black out a lot. But
the fifth time
I've done this.
The blackout from alcohol is really a sign of alcoholism. You may not really believe you have that disease yet, but I promise you have it. And there will be mounting consequences. That being said, my bigger concern for you is the ecstasy, though, because I just pulled an article today about all the list of psychiatric and neurologic disorders from ecstasy. It's just like as long as your arm. And I've seen it all. I swear to God, I've seen it all. And I've been sort of a lone voice for a long time. Now it's starting to get documented.
Now, will the effects of ecstasy, like, happen right now or in 5 years all of a sudden?
Both,
really.
Well, either or, both.
Damn, rage are screwing up our kids out there.
SR 71.
Too much fun, though.
All right, so actually, let's play your song.
Great.
You got many songs. Let's play the one that's blowing up right now. And you kids out there that don't know it, you're going to know it immediately when we start to hear it. So, Ken, you ready? All right, check it out. This is SR 71 from the album Now You See Inside on Loveline.
Every word, each lie was more absurd. It kept me so insecure, but now that's over. You taught me how to trust and to believe in us, and you taught me how to cut the thing.
There we go. Excellent. SR-71.
Rock and roll, baby.
Right now. Look, we got the huge applause. All right, SR-71 is here at Sloveline. We've got to take a quick break. We'll speak to Caroline, who is dumping boyfriends, taking them back, and screwing other people. We'll find out what's going on next with SR-71 on Sloveline. All right, we're back. Welcome back to Loveline. Stryker here, filled in for Adam Carolla, along with Dr. Drew. You've been so nice to me, Drew, except the comment yesterday about my wiener size.
You know what? That wasn't directed at you. It just sort of directed whoever's in that seat. I'm so used to talking about Adams that it just kind of came right out.
I beg to differ. I think you've been funnier the last few days than I've heard you in the last few months or so.
Well, you give me room to do other things.
Okay.
That Adam would not.
Speaking of, like, touching my feet all night. That's
just where my feet go.
All right, good. SR-71 is here. You guys are from Baltimore.
Baltimore, Maryland. The East Coast. We love the East Coast. And shout out to all the Bomber Hinds.
Bomber.
We were talking to somebody just where you guys came in from Baltimore, weren't we?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. She said, I don't know, Mitch, you did something to her and screwed her
Baltimore,
up.
Baltimore is one of the most sort of underrated cities.
Thank you.
Really?
Charm City.
No, seriously.
Charm City.
That harbor,
Inner Harbor.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Crashing Company did it.
I spoke at Hopkins, and it was just spectacular around there.
Well, Johns Hopkins is still one of the most prestigious.
And beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful campuses.
Yeah.
So did you guys go to school, or just after high school you had the band going? Or?
College, baby.
Yeah.
College.
Yeah.
I went to University of Maryland.
All right.
I went to Towson State, north of Baltimore.
That's another great place.
Absolutely.
I went to gorgeous community college.
Where's Corolla when you need it? Community college. Now, look what's happened. You're touring around in SR-71. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a night school.
Very cool. We have Jeff in here now, and all we're missing is Mark, who's out there sipping on a 40.
But incorrigible.
Mark, you're welcome to slide on in and sit on Dr. Drew's lap.
He's slurring his words.
He might be embarrassing to bring in now.
All right. Let's talk to Caroline, 23, on Loveline.
Hi, good evening. Thanks so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you. What's up?
Well, the intro before the break was a little off, so let me see if I can clarify.
Okay.
My boyfriend of 3 years, college boyfriend, and I have been going out for 3 years, and out of nowhere, in the beginning of last semester, he just broke up with me. And he came crawling back, of course, you know, a couple months later.
Of course.
Of course, as expected. And, you know, obviously he's an important person to me. It was an important relationship, so I'm giving it another try.
He stopped all of a sudden?
Yeah.
And just one day?
All
no hint.
Probably, you know, another girl, you know.
And that's what it sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you took him back with arms wide open?
Definitely hesitant.
Hmm.
But it's an important relationship, but, you know, 3 years of my life, I'm willing to give another shot.
Were you at school together or something?
Yeah,
like that?
We just graduated together.
Together, from college.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated together.
Together.
You're in the same class. Now, are you guys living in the same city?
Well, he wanted to move out here to D.C., but I told him, no.
Is he sitting in the room here by chance?
No.
What's your name again? What's your full name?
It's Caroline.
Caroline,
I know exactly what happened because I went through this. Dated a girl for 3 years.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, God, what the hell am I doing? I broke it off.
Uh-huh.
Made within a month, I came crawling back to her. And I'm actually very happy, but she didn't take me back.
Mm.
Oh.
And the only reason why I went crawling back to her, because I realized basically those 3 years, I was in a routine. Like, the first 2 years was cool, but like the last year was just so easy to say, yeah, I got a girlfriend, I know where I'm sleeping, I know she's going to be here, we're going to hang out, she'll do this with me. Then I got tired, and then I realized, God, who am I going to go to the movies with? And I went crawling back to her.
What happened to him when he graduated?
Well, he's an engineer, and he took a job in Cincinnati. And he wanted to move out to D.C.
So he moved away from you, engineering job in Cincinnati.
Well, he wanted to move to Washington, but I told him, forget about it, take this job in Cincinnati.
And that's when, and as a result of that, he decided he wanted to break up.
No, this is way after. This is after I took him back.
You broke up while you were in school?
Exactly.
Okay.
And he came back to me and then, you know, wanted to take a big step. And I said, no, you can go to here and I'll go here.
Okay.
So things are progressing. And, you know, fast forward, we're here. This is 6 months later. And, you know, these issues between us, this, you know, distrust, it's still there. And I think it's, you know, manifesting itself in the fact that I'm get mad at him for little things and I nitpick. And I'm not a nitpicky person. And I just don't know how to channel all this anger that I still have and distrust.
Anger for him having broken up at all.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I, you know, it's just 6 months later, I feel like I should be able to kind of move forward with it, but it's just stagnant. I get mad at the dumbest things. And I just wonder if there's a better way to go about this.
Is it necessarily this? Are you depressed generally?
No, No.
It's this.
I think it's just this whole breakup specific kind of thing.
They've been going out for that long. She'll definitely be upset about
that.
Yeah,
but you better decide you're going to get over this or not. I mean, you've got to decide what forgiveness means to you and get a little of that under your belt and get going here. Because if you can't forgive, then you got to forget. Just end it. Get on with your life.
Yes,
but without forgiveness, this ain't going anywhere.
But, you know, I think I've done the forgive thing.
Did somebody else leave you sometime in your life? Big time?
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, the boyfriend before that.
And what?
You're on a roll count.
I know.
But how about before? Like, you have a parent abandon you or something?
Oh, no, not at all. Healthy family, all that good stuff. Just, you know, bad, you know, boyfriend, you know, things.
Caroline, I'm just one idiotic, dumb guy, but I would just say forget it with this guy. He's not even living in the same city. He's got his career going somewhere else.
I agree, but there's something more going on with Carolina. No, there's no alcoholism in your family?
No, it's no.
Why do I get this feeling that, I mean, you set this up, too. You told him to go away to Cincinnati, and now you're mad at him for sort of being apart from you. I mean, you set up these abandonments, then you make them huge, like
no.
A drama queen.
No, not at all.
No?
Okay, let me, another perspective. If I were to step away from the relationship, I would say he's doing a great job of trying to make it up to me, honestly. He's a good guy all around, but I'm just nitpicking, and I just want to get past it. I just don't know how.
You know, we've given you several different opinions. You've come right back to the first base again.
Get over it,
Caroline. Just move out with them.
You either have to forgive, and if you can't, you have to get on.
Come to the East Coast, gentlemen.
But,
East Coast.
But Caroline, that's the point. You set up the separation. You set up you set these relationships up. You sabotage. You create the abandonment, and then you make the abandonment insurmountable.
Okay.
You see?
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
And I don't know why you're doing that, but you're doing it.
There's a lot of great guys in D.C. Meet a guy in D.C.
Meet a guy in D.C.
I got friends.
East Coast.
I'll hook you up.
Mitch from SR71.
Hook this one up.
Are we going to be in D.C. soon?
Yeah. Why don't you guys look for Caroline when she's there?
We might bring her up on stage and do a little love connection.
She sounds pretty good, actually. We'll be back in 2 and 2. All right, let's speak to Andrew, and this is probably a topic you guys are familiar with on the bus. Andrew, what's going on with you, man? You're 17.
Masturbation?
Yeah, that's right. Andrew.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
I really like the show, but I was wondering why I have to masturbate every night.
Because it feels good.
Is it normal, though?
Hell yes, it's normal.
There's something behind your question. You know, why do I have to? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I feel like if I don't, I have to, though.
Well, it's kind of like counting sheep. Some people count sheep to
get sleep. You have to because it's uncomfortable if you don't, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's your biology operating there, right?
So it's normal, though?
Yeah, once a day is normal for 17.
It's abnormal. You should be doing it 4 times a day.
Absolutely.
Okay, man?
Yeah.
All right, keep on going. Let's the Master Glide. It'll feel a lot better. SR71 is here, and they'll be hanging out for a couple hours, coming to a town near you, and we're going to talk to Daisy, 32. What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I'm having a problem with my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, we've been dating for a couple of months, and, she wants to have sex, and I want to have sex with her, but when we start getting intimate, I just kind of don't want to, and I don't understand it because I'm very attracted to her. I get aroused, then I just seize up, and it's like, no, okay, I don't want to.
Have you been with a lot of women before?
No, I've considered myself bi since my late teens, early 20s. Started acting on it in my mid 20s. I've had one girlfriend where I was sexually active with her, and the girl that I'm dating now, she's been with one other woman also. So we're not totally beginners, but still pretty new to both of us.
Dr. Drew, I think this could be the right avenue, but possibly not. Girl last night, every time she wanted to have sex with a guy, she said no. You said what happened. She said she was violated when she was younger, so when she gets to that point, it's like, no, I want to get there. Anything happened to you when you were younger, Daisy?
Oh, lots happened to me when I was younger.
Of course.
No, I was never violated in that way. And normally I have a sex drive to match almost any guy.
Hmm. Where do you live?
She likes women.
And your friend? Where are you and your friend?
Remember I was talking last night about trajectories, that people have some sort of early exposure to sexual material, and that sort of sets them on that trajectory of being hypersexual. Does that fit your history?
Yes. I was promiscuous at a very early age.
How old?
14.
How about before that? I'm talking like 6, 8. Something happened to you then?
No.
Were you exposed to pornography or some other child touched you in some, you know, some overtly sexual way?
No. Mm-mm.
So it's just you. No manic depression in your family anywhere?
No, manic. Let's see. Yes, but not by blood. Very. I could be the poster child for dysfunctional families. I spent lots and lots of time on the couch.
Okay,
that has something to do with
all right.
Yeah. I'm just kind of wondering if I'm kind of confused whether this is. I've consciously made a point in the last few years with relationships to kind of slow them down, get to know people better.
Is it possibly something you're sort of intuiting about her, that there's something maybe more troubling there than you really realize, and your body and your sort of instinct is telling you, that don't go there, don't get that intimate with her?
You know, I hadn't thought of that. That is possible.
And this isn't something you've ever done before in your relationship. It's not as though this means X, Y, Z to me when this happens.
Right, no. Yeah. Usually, like I said, I tend to be more like a guy when it comes to sex, and if I get horny, I just do it.
But with her, you're not doing it.
I'm not doing that, and I'm a little confused about unless I'm having some performance anxiety or something.
Well, that can kind of go both ways, right? And this is sort of an overgeneralization, perhaps, but it's that either it's that you intuit something sort of not right about this relationship, or maybe something too right about it,
mm-hmm.
and it's overwhelming and scary to go down that intimate pathway with mm-hmm. her because it's too close, too tight, too good.
Okay, and it could be too maybe anything to do with the fact that this lesbian relationship is new to both of us.
Well, you said it's not new. You're perfectly comfortable with that. You know,
since your late teens, you've been going with women.
You've laid it out to us that way.
I've been interested in women. Haven't been acting on it until my late 20s.
Do you feel guilty about it?
Oh God, no.
You're 32. I hope you sort of have command of all these sorts of things.
Yeah.
By this time, I don't think it would be that sort of thing. No.
You know what's great or odd about this? We talked to these women since I've been hosting this that they're all ready to have sex, and when it's time to, they close their legs. Okay. Would you guys ever, when you're in that position, say, I'm not gonna have sex with you?
Or how about? No, it goes further than that for women. It's like I'm almost done with. Oh no, it's not tonight. No.
I would never do that.
It's like my trajectory.
Actually, I disagree. I disagree. Mm-hmm. In my younger years.
Right.
That's called erectile dysfunction.
No, no.
Actually, true in that.
Seriously, I was with somebody who were in the middle of the act, and
what was his name?
Fred. Let's just call her Fred.
Yeah.
But it seemed to me that although she was telling me she was into it, that she wasn't, and I just completely wanted to stop.
I could see that.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah. I could watch television right now and be more entertained.
Okay. When you feel that complete disconnect,
right.
It's almost spooky. Yeah.
That's different than I was talking about. She's talking
you
about
if you're,
hot,
you're into it.
You know what? I also think there's something going on where you're into this person, but when it gets right down to it, you're not sexually attracted to this person. Physically, they might be everything you want, but, I mean, sex is smells. And it's chemical. It's all these things. She might get right to the point. I'm just not that turned on.
I think Dr. Drew was right saying that it just seems like something that's
something,
too right.
I think either too right. I think it's what you're talking about though too. Either too right or something you're intuiting, and those kinds of issues come to bear on that.
I've been there.
would you walk through hot coals to grab knockers?
No.
Come on, bitch, you're lying to me.
To grab an idol in Bora Bora, or you haven't seen this yet.
No, don't tell me a thing.
There is a hot coal walking scene.
Put down the tiki, Bobby. All right, SR-71 is here at Striker for Adam Carolla, along with Dr. Drew. More with SR-71 on Loveline. Hold on. Back, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I would be Ted Stryker, in for Adam Carolla, along with Dr. Drew and SR-71 from Baltimore.
Yo,
here.
What up?
All right, Mitch, I got a question for you.
Is it about masturbating or jerking off or anything?
No, it is not.
Okay.
But same thing. But we were just talking about something, and these guys were talking about it, so I want to see if you give the same answer. What is the new bus missing that the old tour bus had
in massive amounts? Oh, God.
24/7.
I hope you can say this on the radio. Cum stains.
Produced as a result of what?
Other bands. It's an old bus.
Oh, come on.
Okay, hold on.
Think about the crew.
Crew.
The crew was into it.
And their pastime.
And yeah. Dan was into it, and he was going, oh, my God, I got to just...
And the new bus doesn't have it?
The bus does not have it. Well, you have to order it and pay for it.
Satellite.
No, it has to. Yes, satellite was...
Raylene.
Porn!
Yeah. There you go. Oh, my God, we don't have porn on the new bus?
No, we don't.
Oh,
it's a very new bus. We just got it. I didn't even know that yet.
Channel 598, baby. Oh, yeah, that one. I knew all about 598.
In Tucson, Channel 28, the old station to watch. All right, you ready to take some more calls?
Sure.
All right, let's do this. Lynn, 19 on Loveline.
Oh, hi, Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, my problem is actually strangely similar to the last woman you had call. My boyfriend and I have been together for 2.5 years. The first 2 years of our relationship, we had great sex, like the best sex, wonderful. About 6 months ago, I started feeling really uncomfortable during foreplay.
Let me stop you right here.
Uh-huh.
You started seeing him when you're how old?
We got together when I guess I was about 17.
For 16?
Yeah.
I'm doing the math here.
Yeah.
And you had world-class experiences physically with him between 16 and 18?
I started young.
You know, most 16-year-olds aren't capable of that, really.
It's great when you're 16 and 18, but when you're 25, trust me, yeah, you'll find out what world-class is.
Well, if it's just going to get better, I'll take your word
for it. All right, okay. So, anyway.
Yeah, just about 6 months ago during foreplay, I would be kissing and touching, and it would just tense up and freak out and just be like, please, please leave me alone.
So what's changed?
I have no idea. I'm really just at my wit's end, and I'm about to go get counseling because I really don't know.
You're not on any medication?
No, and I was never sexually abused as a child.
First, I wasn't going there. Birth control pills?
Excuse me?
You start birth control pills?
I've been on birth control since I was 16.
And no change in pill type or?
No, same kind.
And anything change in the relationship?
No, not at all. We're discussing getting married. We're perfectly happy.
Is that freaking you out?
No, not at all.
Does your boyfriend?
I'm not going to do it with something like this, you know, such a huge problem.
Lynn, does your boyfriend know that you're, like, freaking out about this?
Oh, yeah, we discussed it. Oh. We have a very good relationship. Mm. I mean, he can obviously tell.
Well, he's got to be frustrated.
Are you smoking weed a lot?
I feel horrible. I don't like the situation.
Have you been smoking weed a lot lately?
Yeah, my boyfriend and I both smoke a lot of weed.
Interesting.
I think we're on to something.
Yeah, that'll shut you down pretty good.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
But if you mix ecstasy and coke, you'll be wonderful.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I'm just kidding. I mean, here's the deal. As you probably heard me say, marijuana addiction, you know, always follows the same course. Somebody gets exposed to it a couple times, somewhere on the third time. Pow! Oh, my God, the greatest thing.
Yeah.
And you start thinking about it every day thereafter and smoking it most days and maybe every day. And somewhere between 1 and maybe many years later, it stops working. You start getting depressed, start freaking out about things, panic attacks, get forgetful. And it has a profound biological effect.
Oh,
and when you stop, it will get worse for about 6 months.
Is it just the women that don't want it, if this is what it is, the marijuana, making her...
No, men get this. Men get erectile dysfunction, all kinds of things.
God, Cypress Hill has no problem.
So how does it affect so many different people so many different ways?
That's what we don't know about. So some people after, you know, Lynn, after a year, she starts to get this stuff. Other people, you can say, oh, no, Joe, he's been smoking 30 years. He's still okay.
You know what, though?
That's out there.
I've been taking a survey of my friends. Every one of my friends who started smoking weed when they're like 14, 15 years old stopped at 22. Everybody that started 18, 19 smokes until they're 28, 29, 30. I think it's something to do when you start young.
But the people that's, well, there's actually some brain change when you start young.
Right.
But the people that start young almost always graduate to something else.
Right.
When they're around 22, they find their way to speed or cocaine or alcohol.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah.
17. What's going on, man?
Hey, this question is for us on 71.
What's up, Andrew?
What's up, man? I just wanted to know how you got to classify your music now and what kind of bands influenced you when you were growing up and, you know, starting out.
Good question. We're a rock band. A lot of people think we're a punk rock band. We got a lot of punk in us, but I think we're more of a, just a rock band. We love everything from the Sex Pistols to the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I'm glad that, you know, you didn't say punk.
No, we're not a punk band. We've never worn that moniker. The song right now, a lot of people hear it and they go, ah, you know, Blink-182
or
punk.
Yeah, because you guys toured with them and Bad Religion, you know?
Well, I'd say if you listen to the song, if you listen to the vocals, if you listen to the way I sing more than anything, you can tell it's pretty much a rock band. It's just an up-tempo rock song. Yeah. A lot of people get that.
It's more like I Want You to Want Me than What's My Name Again.
You know, it's funny. I grew up listening to Metallica. And
really?
That riff, that double-pick guitar riff, that's so metal.
Yeah, Master of Puppets, man. Yeah,
oh, my favorite records, man.
Yeah.
But I grew up double-picking everything, and that riff is just so metal to me. And then, you know, the song kicks in, and it's pretty fast. There's only chords you can kind of put in it. So a lot of people think it's more of a punk tune, and there's definitely a punk edge to it, but we're a rock band.
All right, man, cool.
And are you from the East Coast?
Yeah, man.
Have you seen them live before?
You know what? I was going to go to the show at Jones Beach, but Jones Beach doesn't have a pit, and I'm not
sure. Oh, there was.
They made one.
Yeah. You got to be at the Bowery Ballroom, bro, in New York.
Yeah, you know.
28th of September, you got to come.
I live in California now, man.
Oh, wait, you missed the show tonight. We're at the House of Blues.
Go to Modesto.
Yeah, go to Modesto. You got a car?
Reno, yeah. San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Salt Lake,
San Francisco,
Tucson.
Yeah, maybe I'll check it out.
Please.
All right, man.
Hey, bro.
Look at that schedule. That is insanity.
Excellent schedule.
Now, welcome to the RCA world.
I wanted to see you guys tonight at the House of Blues, but I had to do my show on camera.
We were hoping that you would be there. I understand, though.
But the rumor is that you guys are just an awesome live band. Is that
true rumor?
Is that what you guys shoot?
Yeah, we pride ourselves in.
Yes. Just to blow everyone's minds away.
If the audience doesn't sweat as much as the band, we have not done our job.
I heard you say the best quote. We're a band that will not look at our toes while we play.
Oh, absolutely. There's no shoe gazing in this band.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I swear to God, this is a true story. I'm playing and I'm rocking out and I feel something. I look down and my guitar tech is tying my shoes because somehow my shoe came untied. I didn't even know.
As soon as you have someone tying your shoes, you know you've moved up somewhere.
And then he's wiping my brow.
Would you like me to scrub your penis for you?
Your what?
And I want my brow. Sorry.
His eyebrow.
My brow.
All right, Sarah, 18, you're on Love Line.
Hi.
Hi.
It took forever for you guys to get to me.
Well, I'm going
to
put you on hold. We'll be back here in one sec. Let's talk to Brett. Sarah, we'll be back to you. Don't worry. Brett, you're 14 on Love Line.
Hi, I got this friend that he's gay, and I'm not. And me and him are real close. But he keeps trying to hit on me and stuff.
You're gay too, right?
No.
How old is
you're
he?
You're gay.
How old is he?
He's 15.
15.
Yeah.
Why don't you put a stop to it?
Because I just want our friendship to go on, because I've known him since kindergarten.
I understand, but if he is not going to have any respect for you or his boundaries, then that's it. There's no friendship there. There's got to be mutuality for there to be a friendship.
He wants more than friendship anyway.
Well, but he might be able to knock it off if you really let it be known. But it sounds to me like you haven't been very clear with him. You're afraid he's going to leave. You're afraid you're going to upset him. Hey, hell with that. He is being disrespectful to you and your needs and desires in this relationship.
Brad, do you get aroused, excited, happy that you're getting this attention from him?
Not really, no.
Do you like girls?
Yeah.
A lot?
I think a little too much.
Okay, all right.
But you don't sound like the most assertive guy in the world, Brett.
Right.
You got to be. Here's where a situation where you got to be very, very clear and not worry about his feelings. Okay, because he's certainly not worrying about you as yours in terms of how he comes on to you.
You need to find a girl you can parade in front of him.
Well, don't lose the friendship. But he's not doing anything to keep the friendship going such as it is right now anyway.
No, Brett, be assertive. Tell him, hey, dude, stop hitting on me. We're not going to be friends, and then things will be fine. Sarah, you ready to be more pleasant?
Yep.
Too bad.
We're putting you on hold. I knew it. Sarah, you're going to have to hold on a bit more. All right. Stryker here for Corolla with Dr. Drew and SR71. We'll talk to Sarah possibly next on Love Line. What song is it, Dr. Drew?
Yeah. I was going to say Metallica.
Yeah, very good. Very good. All right, it's Love Line. We're back with SR71 coming to a city near you. Let me just throw out a few cities, and these guys could be near you.
All of them.
Modesto tomorrow. They're going to be in Reno, San Fran, Portland, Seattle, Salt Lake,
and
Tempe.
A day separates each day from the next.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
7 nights a week.
God,
hey,
all
man.
On the bus.
We love it.
How's everyone getting along in the band right now?
I hate these guys. Shut up. With a passion.
Yeah?
We're actually getting another bus for me.
Just for you. Big-ass head in
there. Another bus.
All right, I'm curious now, from the East Coast, from Baltimore, were you just playing the local scene there, created a big buzz, and got the deal, or how did everything come about?
5 years. New York City.
Yeah, pretty much. We did the local scene for 5 years, but we found out that there are no record companies in Baltimore. That was really... believe it or not, it took 5 years to figure that out.
Right.
So we bought a van, a 1987 Dodge van and a trailer, and we hauled it to New York City every week, and we showcased. And the funny part is we became the showcase band with that set that everybody talks about, that 40 minutes or that 45 minutes, but we actually discovered our manager in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he discovered he took us, discovered us, sort of. We sent him a tape, so I guess we discovered him.
Right.
And went back to New York with him, and next thing you know, 5 months later, we signed to RCA.
Good job.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it's done if you're trying to be in a band. It doesn't happen overnight. You need to buy a Dodge and a trailer.
A Dodge. Don't buy a Ford.
Go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Next up is the Oneaters. Hey, that's the Oneaters. All right, Sarah, now we're going to speak to you. How are you?
Great.
Now you're pissed, right?
No.
Okay, good. Go right ahead.
I've been going out with this guy for 3.5 years. I'm 18 years old, and he is 21. And I recently just moved to Paulsboro, Washington, and he lives in Woodland, Washington. And we've been very serious, and so we've been talking about...
Talking faster?
You've been dragging out, you mean.
Sarah, what's the question?
I want to know if I should wait for him to come out here and live with me out here. Or I'm waiting for a commitment. I'm waiting for to ask me, if, you know, to be engaged.
That's why she's been on hold for 72 minutes.
You're 18, for God's sake.
What is the hurry?
I know. That's what everybody's telling me.
They're right.
I know.
Marriage does not immediately solve everything wrong in a relationship or immediately just make everything better.
And my family has just been going crazy on me.
What is the hurry?
No hurry, really. Just I come from a broken up family. I live with my grandparents, and they have passed away in less than a year. So and I've been moved to 2 other places.
All right, but looking for a life preserver is not the greatest way to build a relationship.
That's
and,
true.
And what you're going to end up doing is recreating the broken family you came from in the first place.
Yeah, but now I've been put into a very rich environment, and it feels kind of awkward, but...
How are you in a rich environment? I'm not sure what that means.
My aunt and uncle that I live with now are very wealthy people.
Mm.
And I live in Paulsboro, which is very close to Seattle, and I'm just...
Go to school. Get
yeah,
a career.
Enjoy that. Take your time. Look, Sarah, do not look for a hostage, a life preserver, a way of solving your problems. That's not what relationships are about.
Yeah,
relationships are about two people that have their lives together, coming together and sharing those lives.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You're 18, for crying out loud. You're going to inadvertently recreate your family of origin.
Yeah.
Let's break the cycle. Let's get your S together. Go to school. Enjoy those resources that, thank God, you've got now.
Take advantage of the situation you're in now, Sarah. Make the most of this. I mean, I'm sorry everything happened to you, what happened to you before this, but now, you know, you're in a good environment with rich people. Take advantage of it. Not of them, but of the situation.
University of Washington, a few miles away. Come on.
And come to our show on the 29th.
There you go. You need guys.
Is it D.C. or Washington State?
No, she's near Seattle.
Oh, Seattle, that's what I thought.
Yeah, right across the bay. We live on the water, too.
Sarah, this is it. This is your opportunity. You're at the crossroads.
I'm looking at 6 years of free college.
Oh, sorry. You're right there.
Yes.
Do not abort.
Get to know your aunt and uncle.
Do not eject. Do not get off the path. Keep
don't
going.
Get an art degree or something stupid like that.
You know
like
what?
Me?
Exactly.
And then, dude, I got a music degree, so...
Do whatever you want. Just study. Just get through school.
Get an LCSW.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
Start the school and finish it. And say hi to my cousins that live in Swim. Have you heard of Swim, Dr. Drew?
No,
it's a little peninsula there in Seattle. Amazing. I was supposed to go next week, but...
Washington's a great state. Greatest state in the Union. You know why?
Why?
You can get the morning after pill over the counter there.
Really?
Yeah. You don't need a prescription.
How old do you have to be, by the way?
Good question. Maybe 14.
Oh,
maybe the same as like Planned Parenthood birth control, that kind of thing.
Very good.
I don't know that. I don't know.
With the parent's signature.
Well, if you have the question, no. If you have the question, call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE.
1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE.
Yeah.
That's the number two. All right, James, 16 on Loveline with SR71.
Hi. I got a problem.
Okay. We're here to help.
I'm going out with this girl, and my best friend wants me to cheat on her. What should I do?
With him or her?
With her.
Your best friend is a girl?
Yes.
And she wants you to cheat?
On my girlfriend.
With your best... Wait. Your best friend is not your best friend. Your best friend is a girl that's into you.
Big time. Yeah.
And the reason that you have that friendship is... The reason it was established in the first place is she was completely into you. Don't be an idiot.
Are you attracted to her? Your best friend that is.
No.
Oh, well, then no. What are you worried
That's
about?
That's why they're friends.
Yeah, say no.
She's into it. He isn't. You've got a girlfriend. You've got to confront your friend about this. This is not right.
What's jealous.
She
jealous.
Likes you, but it's the...
This is called a friend.
Hold on. Yeah, let's see if we can get the number. Hey, James?
Yeah?
Can we put you on hold and we can call up your best friend who's a girl and find out what's...
She's out of town right now.
Where is she at? The Niagara Falls area?
No, she's in Nevada right now.
What's that?
She's in Nevada right now.
Nevada?
Yeah, Nevada.
Hey, you guys got corny commercials.
We do? Okay. Yeah. James, all I'm going to say to you, this girl is into you, and...
We can't figure out why.
Yeah, we can't figure out why.
This is entitlement night. This is grandiose entitlement caller night.
Wow, she's indicator.
And since Parole is not here to put them in line, I'm going to have to take the reins.
I'm putting a little bit more right. here. I'm just not going over the edge. I'm a guest here. I'm not, you know...
Unacceptable.
You're gay. All right.
Like a ghost.
Yeah, exactly. Brittany, you're 16.
I started seeing this guy about 2 weeks ago today, and when I met him, I was crying, and like...
You were what?
When I met him.
Crying.
Yeah, I was crying.
Oh, okay.
And me and my friend were both talking to each other, saying how creepy he was, and I started seeing his brother, which I really, really like, and I enjoy his company, but... Monday night, I went over to his house to visit his younger brother, and this guy, me and him ended up fooling around, and...
The younger brother?
No, the older brother.
The guy you liked? The creepy guy?
Yeah, the creepy guy.
Why are we fooling around the creepy guy?
Well, because originally, I was seeing him...
Just imagine a bottle floating on the sea.
You know, well, she was getting fried.
She's just adrift.
Yeah.
Adrift.
Lost.
Yeah.
So what's the question, Brittany?
Well, when I went over there, we were fooling around, and I told him I didn't want to have sex or anything, and he kept, like, saying he wasn't going to.
Right.
And this guy is 18 years old, and he stuck it in anyway, and I kept trying to push him off of me, and he wouldn't get off of me, and I'm not sure how I'm supposed to react to it.
You call the police.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm really, really into the younger brother, and I don't want our relationship to end over this.
It's already gone past that.
You slept with the brother. No, you didn't. No, not purposely, but just kissing made it go over the line, right?
Well, the younger brother's not my boyfriend. We just started seeing
it. Brittany, forget it.
Brittany, this is ridiculous. I'm sorry that happened to you, but listen.
Call the police.
Reason this out. This guy took advantage of you. You said no, and all you're thinking about is, well, I kind of like the brother, so maybe
they're making out with the older one anyway.
Yeah.
That's already makes the relationship with the younger brother impossible. And it speaks volumes about how crazy this family is and these brothers are. And the fact that you're attracted to them scares me even more. So, look, Brittany, you got to end this. You got to call the police. God knows who else that he's forced himself on. And you have to do that.
And what can she do for herself? Like, did he ejaculate?
Yeah.
Inside of you?
No.
Where?
On the floor.
Oh, my God. He is a world-class dick. Oh, my God. I want the David Alan Greer vomit sound, please.
All right. Go to the... call the cops. Go see a counselor. And hopefully don't go out with a younger brother.
No. Stay away from the whole family.
Yeah, it's a bad situation.
All right. Julie, 24, you're on Loveline with SR71.
Although, you know, I'm going to give her a phone number. It's 1-800-4-A-CHILD. 1-800-422-4453. 1-800-422-4453.
Julie?
Hi.
Hi, what's going on?
I am married, and I have a husband with a healthy sex appetite, like all guys. And we are trying to conceive, but I get yeast infections every time we have sex. And I'm wondering why, and if there's anything sort of preventative measures I can take. I drink a lot of water. I eat a lot of yogurt with active cultures.
And no, that's not at all, please.
What's that?
That's not going to help you.
Do you use the Abdolly?
What?
You're not on any medication?
No, not at all.
And you aren't using condoms or anything?
No, I went off the pill a couple months ago.
Does he have any skin, anything on the skin?
No. We've been married for about a year.
And have you been properly treated for the yeast infection?
Yeah, I have Diflucan, actually, refilled with Diflucan from my doctor.
And so you've used that repeatedly?
Yeah, I've used it like 3 or 4 times in the last couple months, and I'm almost wondering if I could get immunity to that.
No, you really can't. There's a couple things about recurrent yeast. One is Obviously, you want to make sure you don't have diabetes and thyroid conditions, all these sorts of things that can predispose.
If I don't have what? Diabetes?
Medical problems that can predispose to yeast infection, which I can virtually guarantee you don't, but you ought to check that out. Number two, incomplete treatment of the yeast. A lot of people use the vaginal suppositories for yeast, and they sometimes don't get up into the recesses of the vagina and clear the yeast out of there, so the cream is useful. But then you're not using that, using the Diflucan, which is very, very effective.
Right.
And then finally, sometimes men can harbor a little bit of this in the urethra. And sometimes a man needs to be treated, too. It's kind of unusual, but it can happen. Okay. So you need to talk to your gynecologist about perhaps treating your husband also.
Now, I've had other boyfriends. I've been sexually active before I was married, and I had the same problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you understand that's just a very delicate environment, that if anything disturbs it, it's like an ecosystem that goes whack, and this one thing blossoms.
Sure.
And it's no big deal. It doesn't hurt you, but it shouldn't really impair your fertility. And you've seen gynecologists, been tested and cultured and whatnot?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's something to reckon with, but not something to worry about.
SR-71, when's the last time you guys talked about a yeast infection?
Wow. Just this morning, coincidentally.
Are there any symptoms for a guy that would have that?
No. If they just have a little bit in the urethra, there would be no symptoms. But you can get a skin infection, get a little redness of the skin.
Well, not that I'm worried about that or anything.
You know, I'm Jewish. I don't know about yeast.
What about for at least 10 days?
Unleavened penis.
It sat outside for 9 days while his wiener burned. All right, Laura, 19 on Loveline. What's going on?
I live with my aunt and my uncle, and my aunt is related to me. He's only by my... And the thing is that he comes on to me. Like, he, like puts his hands on me, and I tell him, I'm like, you know what, I feel uncomfortable. So what I did was... that I told him, I mean, like, because I have this boyfriend, we've been together for a long time, and he's moving to Mexico, he's going back to Mexico, and I told him one day, I was like, okay, you know what, I'm going to break up with him, but I didn't, and the only reason I did was so he can get mad and not, you know, leave me alone, but the thing is, like, now, you know, he's like, it's as if he's trying to get me kicked out of the house.
The uncle is.
I don't want to do anything with him, you know what I mean? I don't want him to touch me.
You're talking in circles, but you feel like he's trying to get you kicked out of the house because if you won't do something with him, right?
Well, I don't want him to touch me.
Hang on. Well, we got that, and that's the healthiest thing about what you've said so far. But and you've kept the boyfriend around just so he could protect you against the uncle?
Well, no, the only reason I used it as an excuse, just to say that I was going to break up with him, so he would get mad and leave me alone. It's like he's jealous or something.
Ooh, the uncle?
Yeah.
So you said to the uncle, I'm not breaking up with my boyfriend.
No, I told him, I'm like, you know what, well, I decided not to break up with him. You know, I decided to stay with him. And he got mad at me. He goes, well, you're stupid.
Where are your parents?
My parents live in San Francisco.
Why don't you call your parents?
Which one of your uncle's related to who? Your mother or your father?
Oh, he's not related to any of us.
Married to the mom's sister.
My aunt is the one. And the thing is, my aunt is a larger woman, and she, you know, she it bothers her. I mean,
she knows about this?
No, she doesn't know.
Tell her.
There's times where she's like, well, the thing is, I'm afraid that they will, like, they'll take it the wrong way. They'll think that I'm trying to do something when I'm not. The only thing is...
Why don't you call your parents? I mean, you're... Don't
make a big deal out of it. Don't make it
Laura, look, get out of there.
Why?
Get out of this house.
Well, yeah, you're 19. Do you have a job?
Yeah, I work at a bank.
Get out of the house.
Can you afford to get your own place?
I can afford it. I'm starting to go to school because that was the arrangement that I was going to live with them.
Well, forget it. This arrangement's not working. Move. It's not working.
I know. You're gonna definitely pay for it in the long run.
Move.
That's
unfortunate. It's an arrangement, no good.
And it is a big deal. It's a big enough deal for you to call in.
It's a huge deal.
Huge.
Yeah.
And it's all because her aunt is a large woman, by the way.
Yeah, Laura, the command of language that she had was just astonishing.
Oh, man, it was in circles. All right, you're listening to Love Line, you guys. I'm Stryker with Dr. Drew, and we're going to talk to Miranda 14.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a problem with masturbation. I want to know if it's the same for girls as it is guys.
What do you mean if it's the same?
No, like, emotion?
The answer is no.
No. Not as emotion, but as in, like, as it is common as it is for guys.
Yes.
It is?
Well, it's not as necessary as it is for guys, but it's common for women.
Really?
How often do you
guys sort of must?
Yeah, I do it a lot. Like, I don't know.
How many times?
maybe 5-6 times a day.
Oh, that's a great thing.
It's a great thing, but at 14, it makes you wonder that something made her compulsive.
Yeah.
Again, we talked earlier about some exposure, some sexual material when you're a kid, or sexual abuse, or witnessing something. Or
yeah, I have that kind of stuff.
What happened?
When I was I don't want to talk about it.
All right, so you were sexually abused as a child.
Yeah.
All right, this is part of that, this sort of compulsion. This is where sexual compulsions come from. And sex is not, in that situation, is not about sex. It's about this compulsion to manage these overwhelming feelings. And yeah, you should seek some treatment for this, Miranda. You really should.
I was going to get in the therapy, but, every single time, I tell my parents that I need therapy because, I'm, really, really depressed, you know?
Mm.
They say, oh, no, you don't need that, you know.
You need it. Look, check out, there's a website, the National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity, NCSAC. And
she's not going to remember.
.org, NCSAC.org. And they have a lot of resources for people who have been through what you've been through, okay?
All right.
Good luck, Miranda.
There's a bright side.
All right. I love you.
Thanks, Miranda.
The fact that she can have 5 orgasms a day.
Yeah.
It would make a lot of girls jealous.
It was 6, actually.
6.
You know what, though? That we're going to talk about masturbation and addiction, and then I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then she was molested as a kid.
Like, I kill all the fun stuff.
Yeah, seriously. You want to take that
aside? Poor Corolla can't go to strip bars anymore.
Wow.
Well, he still does. Let's face it, he does. But because those are all abused kids standing around there. And he's able to see that now, and it kills him.
All of them.
Ruins his buzz.
Yeah.
85%. The rest are bipolar.
I spent my share of time in a strip club or two.
I got
to know one or two here and there. And eventually you find out they are screwy, man.
Yeah, well, I got a couch at home. I lay him down and talk to him for a little while. Make sure everything's okay.
Oh, do you? You walk around with a pen and write things down?
You try to help.
Where was your father? All right, Danielle?
Mm-hmm.
You're 15 on Loveline. What's going on?
I have two questions. When I was, 7, my mom's boyfriend, molested me. And, I was wondering if I should, tell my mom.
Yes, yes.
He is, recently deceased.
That doesn't matter. That's all the more reason that you're able to tell her now. It may even help her deal with his passing better to know that he's such a scoundrel.
Yeah. And not only will get off your chest, maybe because you tell her, you'll be able to get some therapy, and she'll be happy to help you get in therapy.
Very well. I think that's fine. Okay.
And my other question was, I'm, completely in love with this guy, but he absolutely hates me. And, I was wondering if I should, call him up.
No.
And, tell him how I feel about
it. No. Just cool out. Just relax. Get some treatment, okay?
Okay.
Get your mom to get you somebody so you can get a real relationship with someone and to start to feel better about yourself and make better judgments about your relationships.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, Danielle.
So we're talking about molestation, and I have another question. I really like this guy. What? It's like two sides.
Two unrelated sides, of course.
And Dr. Drew just looked at me like a deer in headlights. Everything okay?
Yeah. I'm still watching you. Enjoying?
You're looking at me like, either you're proud of your son or you want to make a move on me.
No desire to jump.
All right, SR71 is here in Loveline, and Sarah, 15, what's going on?
Hello?
Yes?
Well, I have a boyfriend, and everything's been really good and everything, but it seems like every time I get drunk, I'll have, girlfriends around, and I want to do something with one of them.
God bless you.
Absolutely.
But then in the morning, I feel really guilty and disgusted with myself about feeling that way.
Well,
we need to bring her on the bus.
Okay.
Ready?
Feels every morning.
Sarah, you're 15, getting drunk. Do you have any feeling towards the girls when you're sober, walking around the classroom?
No.
Hmm.
No, but it's bad. I'll be with my boyfriend when I'm drunk, and it's bad.
What do you drink? Beer?
No.
What?
Black Velvet.
Well, you know your drink, all right.
Would your boyfriend mind if you were with another girl?
No, actually, I think he would like it.
As long as he could watch.
Nice.
Well,
hey,
yeah.
How old's your boyfriend?
Huh?
How old is your boyfriend?
17.
Hmm. Well, Sarah, this is, I'm sure that there's more to your story than just this little symptom.
What do you mean?
Father abuser.
She's too.
No, I don't know. I just, there's a lot more going on here than just this one thing. It may be all about alcoholism. It may all be all about coming from a family of alcoholics. Whatever it is, it's about the consequences of alcohol here, right? You drink and you have things happen to you, yet you keep drinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why not focus less on the symptom and more on sort of the source and maybe not drink. You're 15. You're getting wasted at 15. And I suspect, I would bet that you have an alcoholic something in your family somewhere, right?
Well,
somebody.
My
yes,
mom's last boyfriend, we lived with him for about 3 years, and he was a heavy alcoholic. That's why we had to leave.
Well, I would bet, given that mom picks alcoholics, that your dad is probably an alcoholic too, right?
Not really. He drank a couple beers when he came home from work or something, but he wasn't really abusive or anything like that.
I think it'd be abusive to be an alcoholic. He just has to give you the gene.
Well, that wasn't my real dad.
Okay. Well, your real dad, the one
who gave you the gene,
the one that your mom picked to get pregnant with you for.
Well, I don't know my real dad.
Because he was probably an alcoholic and left.
Okay,
and you got the gene, and it's starting to express itself now. You better do something about it, because the consequences are going to begin to grow from here.
Okay, well, what does that have to do with liking women?
Hey, you're on drugs when you're like women. You're sober, you don't like women. You're on drugs. So yes. It's about the drugs, about the alcohol.
You have 6 years so you can legally drink. Plenty of time.
Okay, so I'm not weird or anything.
It's about you're an alcoholic. You're finding that out.
Okay.
All right, Sarah?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye. I mean, I'm sure you guys have gotten drunk plenty of time and wanted to make out with the local cows when you're in the turbo or something.
Dan is so attracted to me after 27 beers. He's looking
so good. So, Sarah, it's in the genes. All right, SR71 is here, and we've got to take a quick break, and we'll speak with Frank in a second. And his girlfriend will not have sex unless she's drunk.
Wow.
Trend going here. Sounds like me 3 years ago. Hold on, it's Love On. We're back. It's Loveline. Stryker here for Adam Carolla, along with Dr. Drew and SR71. Going to play another song from SR71.
Thank God. We're going to play another
song. Definitely. So check this out. Everyone knows the other song, but this is Politically Correct, SR71 on Loveline.
Well, I don't mean to piss you off with things I might say. So when I start to shut my mouth, it'll come out anyway. So when I speak my mind, that's when we connect. Yeah, but that's not politically correct. Your head's so filled with fun, you can't use your imagination. Like a god so filled with stars, you can't find a constellation. Everyone's so sensitive to any bad vibration. This one is resting while we're regressing. I don't mean to pick you up. Things I might say. And when I try to shut my mouth, they come out anyway. Nothing I believe in more than my own insignificance. Why does everybody think my work can make a difference? We don't have time to pick up the social justice. Just keep on talking and you keep applauding. And I don't mean to piss you off. Things I might say. On the right, but you can only choose on your side. I look a little like a deer in my headlights, a little blind that hit no sight. So you conform with the fact of redemption. Change comes from inside. After all, that's what this country was founded on. Do nothing different, just fall in love. Tell me what happened to make us so afraid.
More applause. Yes. I love it.
Excellent. All right, that's SR71, politically correct. And I just mumbled politically correct. That's on the CD. Now You See Inside. And
yes, sir.
SR71 coming to a city near you. See him live, because apparently it's just awesome.
We rock.
As
we
said earlier. And not necessarily a punk band.
We're rock, punk, we're funk, jazz, we're all of it.
So do you guys get emails from people that hear the one song on the radio, and then... you know, I was expecting this on the CD, or I like this on the CD. What's the vibe you guys are
We'll put it out there right now. There are not 11 songs on the CD that sound just like right now.
Okay.
There's all kinds of great stuff on there. Right now is pretty much the extreme. It's the fastest tune on the record.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's PC. That's our next single, one that came out. And then there's some slow mid-tempo rock stuff.
There's Bill Stryker. We're not going to see you guys again.
We're only coming back if Adam Carolla is going to be in there.
Oh, damn.
All right, Andrea, 17 on Love Line.
Hey, I'm actually just calling to talk to SR71.
Cool. Wow, we love this.
Okay, we're going to have to put you on hold.
Oh, seriously?
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, anyways, you guys totally rock, and me and my friend are going to go see you at the Fillmore on Saturday.
Oh, great, San Francisco.
Yeah,
and anyways, I was just calling to ask Mitch, when you're writing the lyrics to your songs, do you ever hold back from what you originally wanted to say because you know that your family and friends and the public will be hearing your songs?
Absolutely not. Actually, there are a lot of times that Jeff actually turns to me and says, you know, you're being vague. You're not saying exactly what you want to say. I know what you want to say, but I don't think anybody else is. Be more specific. Say what you want to say. And I'll tell you, that song that you just heard, Politically Correct, is kind of about...
Yeah, I love that song. It's awesome.
And you know where I'm coming from, speaking your mind. I think the biggest problem we have today in society is that nobody wants to speak their mind and tell the truth. And if somebody asks you a question, there's always that preface. You want me to answer honestly? The fact that you have to say that is ridiculous.
And you still don't.
Right. It's all about being honest. And lyrically, I think I've always tried to be honest as I can, describing a situation or an idea or a thought.
And when other people can relate to it, that's brilliant. That's what you want.
Right. And the bluntness of it, I think, helps because sometimes you laugh because you don't hear being blunt so much anymore.
All right, Andrea?
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome.
Have fun at their show on Saturday.
Okay, we'll see you there.
All right. I won't, but they will.
We're bringing him. We're throwing him on the bus tonight. Don't worry.
Okay, great.
I'm getting on with good old Dave. Dave, by the way, who I hear, used to go to your shows just because he wanted to pick up on women.
Oh, you heard about that.
I heard all about
it. He never liked the band. He never used to come out and he used to... Well, I can't tell you exactly what he said because I don't think I can say it. But he said that I don't really like listening to you guys, but all the girls are here.
All the girls
are here. So I got to hang.
Yeah. Dave who?
He still go home alone.
This guy Dave. He's running around here. He's Dave Cash.
Dave Cash.
He wants his shout out. He got it. All right, go on, Dave. Jason, 20, you're on Love Line.
Yes.
What's up?
Speaking of my mind, I have a great relationship with my girlfriend, and I always tell her what I'm feeling, but she won't shave her pubic area for me.
Ooh.
And it's something that I just want her to try once. And
so you've asked her to do it?
Yes, I've asked her to do it many times, and she can't get used to the idea. Like,
how old is she?
She's 17. I'm 20. And
it's marginal.
Yeah, it is. It's marginal, but it's just something that physically turns me on.
You know, we call that in Baltimore,
right?
The big 70s bush.
You need a machete to get through there right now, don't you? A big old machete.
It's a 70s porn film, man. You remember those? They pull down their pants. You go, what are you wearing, like feather underwear? What is that?
What's she afraid of, razor burn?
Just that it's going to hurt. Like, she's actually tried it before with, like, clippers. Like with number four.
Oh, you got to go with number two.
Number two.
And then when you get good, number one.
What is that, a shear? Is that a shears or something?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a sheet.
She clips her bikini line with shears in the bathtub, but she'll never go anything more than that.
Well, here's an option. There's now laser that can actually remove the hair.
I was going for that. How much money do you have in the bank saved up?
Well, I started my own business, so I'll have a couple grand in it.
Epilite / lasers. Can one application take care of that?
Permanent.
Yeah, that's permanent.
I know
permanent
the best product to take on the hair. Have you guys seen the infomercial for a product called NADS?
I have.
It's called NADS.
I thought it was a joke.
They have the hairiest man in the history of mankind in this infomercial. He's sitting back smiling. Some French lady is rubbing nads, not
on his nads.
On his nads.
That
was on his leg, and he's sitting there smiling, and she rips this thing off to his leg, and he
does it repeatedly.
And they're like, look, he's not even any pain. He just back, and he's like, you know, get this freaking thing off of me, please. Go for the nads, Jason.
It must be an acronym.
Yeah, I think it is.
If she thinks shaving hurts, get nads.
Exactly. Have you heard of that product?
Her sister told her to do some waxing, and her sister had a bad experience with it, and I guess she's...
tell her to use baby oil.
Baby oil.
And the razor got a hernia? What happened with that? What happened?
She wasn't smiling like the hairy gentleman.
What do you mean she had a bad experience with the waxing? What does that mean?
Her sister, like, told her that she went to a salon and, she tried doing her bikini line, but she couldn't follow through with it. And she
wanted
to try and shave.
Well, good. Check out the Epilite.
Does she really want to shave? He wants her to shave.
Yeah, she really doesn't want it. She doesn't want to part with it.
Well, you know.
She doesn't want to part with it.
No pun intended.
Tell her to put it in a bag and put it on her dad's head as a toupee. That'll be fun. All right. Dominique?
Hello?
You're 16 on Love Line.
Yes. How are you guys?
Great.
What's up?
I have a question. I, like, love to have sex, and I don't know, it's just, like, I got a really bad reputation at school last year, and I'm trying, I don't know, like, I still just, like, I'll have friends that I just do that with, and, like, there's nothing more, nothing less, and I don't know.
What's your question?
I don't know if, like, I was molested for, like, 3 years.
Well, there you go. Well,
you're taking that route of just
that's where you do
spreading them
that's
and
where comes from.
With anyone you can get your hands on.
What about getting some treatment for that experience?
I went to counseling, and we're in the middle of prosecuting right now, and I don't know, just nothing's going right. I've, like, had hell with my parents and stuff, and I don't know.
Nothing has helped, is that what you said?
No, like, me and my parents, ever since it's been going on for, like, I don't know, a couple of years now, it's been like I keep fighting with my parents and we don't have a good relationship.
Why don't you get some help?
I did counseling for like a year and it didn't do anything.
I bet at least calmed you down a little bit. I bet at least sort of kept some of these behaviors from exploding like they're doing now. It's not with therapy, it's not like a magic, panacea.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just going, wow. But it helps you manage some of these feelings. It helps just reduce some of these risky behaviors. And ultimately helps you process this all in a way that you do start to make healthy decisions and slowly do grow and feel better. It takes a long time.
Really?
So stay with it, all right?
Okay.
Bye, Dominique.
Bye, you guys.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. Stryker here with Dr. Drew. I'm in for Adam, along with SR71. We're going to speak to a man who was thinking of piercing his penis. We'll find out if that's healthy next on Love Line. All right, we're back. It's Love Line. Back here with Dr. Drew.
Red hat.
The guy with the red hat. Now the red hat gets a rap from these critics. Not Santa Claus. Come on now. All right, Dr. Drew. We got one more night together. We'll get it tomorrow.
If you put password breakfast.
I'm not listening to the radio for
Mitch, Jeff, and Dan are hanging out here in the Loveline studio. They're from SR71, and you got 25% of your band outside of the studio. That would be whom?
It's Mark. He's too drunk to get on the air right now.
Is he?
No.
He was just buffooning.
He's out in the hallway right now.
At least he has a good sense in the decorum not to come in here.
Right.
He could be.
We're civilized.
As compared to like a band like Pennywise that brings somebody in here that.
Thank God I was not filling in. But actually, I get along extremely well with Fletcher from Pennywise.
I do, too.
He's a great guy.
No.
Except when he locks you in the room and wipes his feces on your head.
And he says that he has a live grenade and that the police, the SWAT team that filled that room should shoot at him.
Right.
Damn.
Oh, God.
We're boring as hell, man. Jeez.
So are all the guys and girls, friends, family in Baltimore just rooting for you guys, proud of you guys right now? That
in front of our faces or behind our backs?
I don't know. The local bands back home are like, we love those guys, we hate those guys.
Oh, really?
Actually, no, we have a great relationship with everybody back home. We played forever. We met everybody. We played with everybody.
Right.
So when we finally, actually, the funny part is we disappeared for a year. Like I was telling you, we went to New York, and then we finally got signed. Everybody went, what? Y'all got signed?
How did you guys get signed?
Like, so we told everybody, and the studios actually are jam-packed in Baltimore right now. Everybody's recording. Everybody's putting out their own CD.
Cool.
Everybody's getting smart. They're realizing that you want to do it, you got to get the music
back
out.
Seattle's definitely.
You got it.
Definitely. And the Orioles are still losing badly.
Yeah, the bands are doing great, but the ball team is doing terrible.
Horrible. Yes. And we're going to speak to John, 20. First off, John, how many piercings do you have right now?
Nine right now.
How many tats do you have?
None.
So why do you want to stick a needle in the wiener?
I figured it'd be, you know,
painful.
A lot better than having a tattoo, you know, that'd be all permanent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know.
A needle in your, a spear in your penis, I mean, that's...
What's that?
A spear in your penis is a pretty big commitment, too, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a piercing. I mean, you can take it out, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't want to have sex anytime soon?
Oh, yeah, you know.
Nerve damage.
Ouch!
You know anybody?
Nerve damage?
Know anybody that had any damage that way?
I know someone that has it, but I don't really know them that well. I just know someone that has it.
All right, so why all the way? You know, why start with the?
Start with your ear, for God's sake.
Screw the ear, man.
With your ear. I'm not saying only do your ear. Start with your ear, get your nose, maybe your lip, your eyebrow. But Jesus, man,
it's not extreme enough just to go ears.
But I had that like so long ago that it was back when like if someone had a navel pierce, everybody would freak out. That's like, how long ago it was. Okay. Now it's just like no big deal.
It's not your first then.
Yeah, you know, I've done other stuff.
Is it safe, Dr. Drew, to get that procedure
done? Well, it's amazing how few complications there are, but there's bleeding and infection and stenosis of the urethra, and all kinds of things can happen. They certainly aren't very, very likely to. But the question is why? Still, why put yourself in harm's way like that? What is it going to do for you?
I know exactly why he wants to do it.
What?
Just like some people don't want to get one tattoo anymore because everyone has one tattoo. You got to get the full sleeve now. Everyone has piercing,
yeah,
a nipple, an ear. If you go for the penis, it's more extreme than.
Why would it be really different? Do none of that stuff.
That's just like my friend Barry that lives in San Diego. He's like this crazed, pot smoking. I hope his parents aren't listening. And I'm like, how come you have no tats? You got here in San Diego. You haven't worn a shirt since the early 90s. He's like, everyone's got them. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So, John, don't pierce down there.
Please.
I've seen it done a couple of times. It is just horrifying.
Yeah.
Some people have gotten pretty messed up with it.
Well, no.
How have you seen that done?
We had them done twice live on the radio.
Ah,
the piercers came down there, got laid right down, right there, and then stuck a spear right there on. It was lovely.
I don't know. Do it. Don't do it. I don't care. I guess Dr. Drew says it's safe. John, go for it.
I said it was safe.
I'm worried about. Like, I don't want to lose like sensitivity.
It's remarkable how few complications there are.
I wouldn't mess. That's the area that, you know, I treasure the most. I don't want to put anything into it. I want to put it into other things.
I just wanted to see if he went into that BS about it being so arousing to his partner.
I'm not trying to be like, I've got a ring and show everybody. I'm not going to be like that. It's just going to be like, you know,
it's just for me.
All clean cut. Nobody would totally expect that, you know. It's one of those freaky things that, you know, I know that nobody else knows. You know?
Beautiful.
John, where are you from?
Atlanta.
All right.
See in a week. You can show me your penis. See if you've done it.
I don't think so.
All right, John. Good luck, man.
Get a clip on.
Why don't we get a word out of you? Sit near you, whistle like a bird, and eat like a horse.
Novelty Prince Albert.
Yeah, exactly. Frank, 18 on Loveline. What's up?
Hey. What's up, guys?
Frank.
Hey.
I have 71. I'm from Baltimore. I was at your Pier 6 concert.
Wow. All right, man.
That's rock.
You didn't get hurt, did you?
Not too bad.
Okay. Good. Nothing that needs hospitalization.
Right. Anyway, here's my question for Stryker and Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
My girlfriend, she refuses to have sex unless she's, like, in some kind of altered state.
How old is she?
She's 17.
Mm.
Does she know that she's having sex with you when she's drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she does. Okay.
And what does she say when you ask her why?
Why she wants to do this?
Yes.
I've never really asked her. She just always... Wants. I mean, I don't. I've told her I don't really like it, but I never really asked her why she does it.
Why don't you ask her?
You think she's gonna tell me?
Well, I don't know.
Frank, if I were you, breakfast tomorrow, beer. Lunch?
Damn.
Vodka. Dinner? More beer. And you know what you get, Frank?
What?
Laid.
Sex three times a day.
Hey!
I would suspect it's that she really doesn't feel good about having sex and is just sort of using that to numb herself up so she can.
What am I doing wrong?
It's not that you're doing wrong. It's just something about her and what her belief system is and what she feels she should or shouldn't be doing or is ready to do or not ready to do. And she needs to talk about that. She's how old?
17.
17? Yeah, she may not be ready for this yet, but here she is.
Hey, Frank, I'm sorry, have you ever seen Annie Hall?
What's that?
It's a Woody Allen movie.
I was thinking about that, too. You know, she smokes pot every time.
Every time he finally asked her.
It was Frank, by the way.
Yeah, really.
It was that laugh.
Yeah.
You should see Annie Hall. Find out what Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Find out what she said.
I'll watch that.
All right,
Frank. Stay off the drugs, and good luck getting more action.
See you back at home, man.
Yes. Chris, 18, on Loveline.
Yeah, I'm having problems with my girlfriend. I come from a less off family than she does, and I feel really uncomfortable around her family because her family's kind of wealthy and mine's not. And
why should that make any difference to you?
Well, I don't know. I feel really uncomfortable around them because, you know, her mom drives a Lexus and I drive like an old beat up Chevy. You know?
Well, you're 18 and she's a mom.
No, her mom.
That's the point.
Drives the Lexus.
Right. You're 18. You should have whatever you're driving. She's a mom, and
yeah, I know, but I mean, like, she's got a 2000 Honda.
Oh, well, in that case.
But how do they treat you?
Well, they treat me fine, but I mean, I just really feel uncomfortable, and I want to, like, I was wondering how I could get over that.
Yeah, so it's your issue, Chris, not theirs, right?
Yeah.
And what is the issue for you?
Well, I just feel really uncomfortable around them.
Why?
Well, because they're like, I don't know, they have all this money and stuff, and I've been raised, you know, living off a welfare part of my life, and you know, scraping up pennies and stuff to go get candy, that kind of thing.
Right. Hey, Chris, are you afraid they're going to think that you're trying to be a freeloader?
Yeah.
So, I guess. No. Wait, are you angry or envious?
Well, no, I just don't want to look bad in their eyes.
You don't. You're a great guy. You're their daughter's boyfriend. They like you. They welcome you in. Right?
Yeah. If they're
quality people, which I would think that's what you would be sort of around, they would be judging you for your economic status. They judge you for who you are.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I just feel really, I don't know, like I'm less of a person than they are or something.
But that's ridiculous.
Chris, that's ridiculous. And I guarantee they have not thought about this one time that you're driving around in a lesser of a car than their daughter is, or the mom's Lexus or the 2000 Honda.
I was when I was in college, I dated a girl whose parents were very well off, and I drove a 71 Buick Skylark.
Nice.
And I had no money, and I had very, very, very long hair. And trust me, when she brought me in, man, they freaked. But these people welcomed me with open arms. They fed me night after night. They took me out to dinner. It was not until they saw me naked running down the hallway in their house and realizing that I was boning their daughter that they ever act in any way not nice to me. But up until that point, trust me, they loved
me. Everything was going fine.
It was going great. And then her mother saw me and fully erect on my dad.
Oh, it's like Daniel LaRusso, who was from Reseda, going to date the girl that lived wherever she lived. All right. It's break time. But Drew, yes or no, do tampons bust the hymen? Adrian wants to know.
They could.
Maybe if we have time, we'll speak to her next. Striker with Dr. Drew and SR71 coming back next on LaVon. Loveline is here without Adam Carolla. I tried my best, a little sucky, but you got to deal with me one more time. I'm Stryker with Dr. Drew.
Rockstar.
You'll be here tomorrow night, too.
Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow night.
With Cindy Margolis, right?
With Cindy Margolis.
We just met her at the MTV Beach House.
And how was that? Good?
Smoking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's married to my friend.
She's married?
I think. I don't know. I think she's married to my friend Guy, who went to a place called Guy's on Beverly Drive next to Jerry's.
My fantasy is over. Oh, God.
No, it'll be fine. It'll be okay.
I won't mind.
No, guy won't mind who I grew up with. He was on the Yankees in my little league. But anyway, SR71, you guys, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for dealing with me. Not only, I'm speaking to everyone listening, great band, just great guys in general.
Thanks.
Very fun to meet you guys. Fun to hang out.
Hey, can we plug the site, our website?
Go, right ahead.
www, might it be anything else, sr-71.net.
You guys got that? Say it again.
sr-71.net. That way, no calls about dates.
So this dash or this dash?
It's the dash. Not underscore,
yeah.
Dash. That way, you got questions about dates, questions about anything else, please go to the site. Refer to the site.
It'll be there, and you can pick up their CD. Now You See Inside for Dr. Drew. This is Stryker. We will talk to you guys tomorrow on Loveline, saying just for you, shalom.
All right.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.